It is Tuesday, October 19th. Welcome to Menace of Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host, episode 170. Two and a half years running. Been running this podcast, which has turned into all kinds of other shit, too. Well, we'll talk about all that throughout the show. I'm sure I will shamelessly plug it. Excited to be back after a bye week and a little COVID scenario going on in my family with my immediate family. So we just had to knock that out of the park. Fortunately for us, I know that some have not been as lucky, but the symptoms were minimal for the ones that got inflicted with the disease or the illness, I guess you call it. So we have come out pretty much unscathed. So we're very fortunate for that. But here we are back in action for what is, it's going to be a fun episode to talk about what happened. Crazy ass weekend, right? Crazy weekend. Iowa gets fucking throttled by Purdue. A number of things happened. I mean, the Tennessee game that I was supposed to be at ended in dramatic fashion. Tennessee should have won the game if their receiver could jump more than 6 inches off the ground and give somewhat effort to try to make that play to win the game. And then they threw batteries and all kinds of shit at Lane Kiffin. So it was fucking eventful. And then a bunch of other stuff happened this weekend. Obviously, Georgia got a big win at Kentucky. We'll go through all those, talk about the landscape. Also, Eddie Orgeron is out. Who else will be fired? We have our first COVID vaccine firing, so we got to talk about that. And we have a dumbass sports media personality of the week. But before we get started, a couple kind of things to get out of the way. The first is our tailgate. October 30th is the biggest weekend of college football. It's going to be monstrous. From Florida, Georgia in the rivalry game, in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Michigan taking on Michigan State in what should be a match of the unbeatens, and then Ohio State, Penn State, here in Columbus. Come on down the Point on Lane, right next to Varsity Club. If you're into a fucking awesome vibe, this is it. I understand people are like, man, $50 for a tailgate. You don't understand the value you're getting in that $50. You're getting all you can eat great food from Revelry Tavern. I mean, you name it. Shade on the Canal Wings. I mean, we got wings, cheesy potatoes, like good ass food, not burgers and brats and hot dogs and shit like that. It's bomb food, all you can eat. Then we got Screwball partnered with us, Corona. Let's see, Buckeye Vodka, Bud Light and Budweiser. We have Captain Morgan's there. I mean, we got a bar set up. Our bartender, Naya, is the fucking bomb. Come hang out with us. You get 2 drink tickets, all you can eat. Drink tickets are only $5 after that, not $10 like you spend at Varsity Club or whatever they charge for a Mick Ultra. Come hang out, man. It's an awesome vibe. Braxton Miller is going to be there, obviously supporting his foundation as well as some of the charitable stuff we do. And it's going to be awesome. Go to Eventbrite. Type in charging with a 1 for the I, or just type in Braxton Miller. It'll pop up. Come get some tickets and come hang out with us starting at 5:30 for the night game, the Halloween spooky, spooky Saturday with the Buckeyes down on campus. So we had to plug that for a minute because I want to see all you guys down there. Also, if you haven't checked out Menace to Picks, I'm telling you right now, you are missing out. Even if you checked it out last year, and I know after the football season, we went on a little cold streak. We adjusted our model for other sports and are killing other sports, but football's fucking stupid. We're up 600 units in the last 2 weeks. 600 units. We bet like usually 10 to 30 units a game. So we have been, I mean, fucking amazing. 8-1 yesterday on NFL football. I guess that was Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday. And killed last night also. I mean, just check it out at patreon.com/menacetopicks. Check that out. All right, that is all out of the way. That's our platform. I do have one sponsorship to get to right now, but I really want you to listen to this because it's near and dear to my heart. It's near and dear to it's Ryan Day's whole mission about mental health. And when they contacted me about sponsoring, I mean, I almost jumped through the computer when they contacted me. So a quick word from one of our sponsors, BetterHelp. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I want to talk about this for a minute because this is something that means a lot to me. Obviously, everything that I went through, mental health is a huge deal over across the country, and it's a huge deal to me. So when this sponsor approached our show, I obviously jumped at the chance to add them to our sponsor reel. And it's an unbelievable opportunity for you. Everyone, really. Everyone needs mental health development and awareness. And it's really, I thought about it. It's like, all right, is there something preventing you from achieving your goals, or what interferes with your happiness, right? And if you go to betterhelp.com/menace, It's an unbelievable network where they will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, whether it's depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping, anger, family conflicts, you name it. They can find a licensed therapist in a secure online environment to get you working on your mental health. I mean, all of it without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, without leaving your house, driving to a therapy appointment. You can talk to someone online at betterhelp.com/menace. So you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. It honestly only, you can get, in under 48 hours, you could be talking to someone. And if you don't do that now, I highly recommend it. I do it, and there's no shame in it anymore. It's 2021. It's all about bettering yourselves. And all I would say is there's testimonials on their site. I checked it out when they contacted me, and it's been awesome. I'm so excited for my journey. Wanted to share it with you. Obviously, they're sponsoring the show, but even bigger than that, with Ryan Day's initiative on mental health awareness and everything in Buckeye Nation that is going on with mental health awareness, this is an unbelievable opportunity. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/menace. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, it's betterhelp.com/menace. I just, if you take any advice from me or really advice from anybody, everybody talks about it now, just go check it out. Even if you feel like you're mentally in a good place, it always is beneficial to talk to someone. So I really am passionate about that. I want you guys to do that, not only because they're a sponsor, but also because that is what I'm all about. I mean, if we can get our mental health right, everything else in life improves. So anyways, enough about all that. What is that? 6 minutes of previewing the show. Enough about that. Let's get to the show.
Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State.
Why am I talking to you? You're not even in football.
Yeah.
Did you even play to the high school level? You took journalism. It's a bunch of nerds interrupting people who know what they're doing.
It goes to the corner, dives to the corner. He didn't get there. No, they say he did. And Indiana wins.
The commissioner could literally punt a baby with his wingtips on. I'm still going to watch on Sunday.
Looking for the deep ball. Touchdown, Ohio State, Garrett Olsen.
I don't condone the man's actions, but it's football. I have to watch it. This is all I have.
On first down, it's Breece Hall. He doesn't go down. He might go all the way. He stays on his feet again.
I wasn't going to hit a woman, but then that guy in the Ravens did it, so I guess it's okay.
What better way to start off this episode with this week's Dumbass Sports Media Personality of the Week? I appreciate those of you who tag me on Twitter these dumbass takes, hashtag DASMP, Dumbass Sports Media Personality of the Week, and show them to me, because I would have never seen this one. I had to look up who this guy was, and then I found out I knew someone that knew him, and I learned a lot about him. But Chris Roussard, who has 1.4 fucking million followers on Twitter, had this to say. If you didn't watch the Titans' big win for Mike Vrabel and the Titans, Josh Allen went for it on 4th-and-1, didn't slip, didn't get it. And Chris Roussard had this to say after the game.
Happened on the play. Yes, Josh Allen Smith or Josh Allen slipped, but it got blown up on the left side because of the pressure of Tennessee. I wonder why. Could it be because Buffalo's Pro Bowl left tackle, Taylor Lewan, was injured? If he's there, maybe that doesn't happen, but he's out. So you got a second stringer that Josh Allen's trying to go behind, and you see he got destroyed. Dawkins, whoever that is. All right, so that's the problem. You're not good in the...
No, Chris. No, Chris. That is not the problem. The problem is idiots like fucking you are paid to give opinions and say dumbass shit like this. Taylor Lewan plays for the Titans. He was not the reason that Josh Allen didn't get the first down on 4th-and-1, moron. You gotta know who's on what team. Let's start there. To be an NFL analyst, let's set the bar really high. You have to know who is on which team. I mean, what is this shit out here? This content that is being consumed by 1.4 million people. Do you know who Chris Roussard is? I found out a little bit about him. He was a Northeast Ohio guy, and he dick rode LeBron. I mean, just in the media, he would always give him cupcake questions, softball questions, never challenged him, never did his job. He just jerked off LeBron. And because of that, LeBron liked him, so started giving him, I guess, information, or he would talk to him more than other reporters. And so he blew up. I mean, he's a LeBron James insider. Even if that made him qualified to be a basketball reporter, why in the fuck is this guy talking about NFL football? And I don't know the guy at all. Never even heard of him until I saw this clip. I've never seen him. He's awful on air anyways. The shit he says, he's mumbling Bills. You're like, Christ, man, spit it out. But our dumbass, super dumbass, ultra dumbass sports media personality of the week is former LeBron James dick rider Chris Rassard, who doesn't know what fucking team Pro Bowl left tackle Taylor Lewan plays for. I mean, it's not that hard. The guy got hurt. Mike Vrabel walked on the field. I mean, he plays for Mike Vrabel. He plays for Tennessee. He does not play for the Buffalo Bills. Oh, my gosh. Just an idiot. But now he's a football analyst, so that's good. So I had to get that out there. You know, we always have to honor our dumbass sports media personalities when they say dumb shit. And I'm sure I've had my moments, but in other news, let's get back to football and not LeBron dick riders. Nick Rolovich has been fired at Washington State because he would not get vaccinated. He did not get vaccinated in time. And I still don't know the details. I've read through some of the stuff. I know Pat Chung is the AD there who was at Ohio State. So he's an Ohio State guy, the AD there. I don't think Pat Chung made the decision to fire him. I mean, he could have made a huge deal of it and sacrificed himself and maybe refused to fire him, and then he would have got fired, which, I don't know, pretty dumb for your own career. But this was a state mandate. And I'm not here to talk about the vaccine at all. I don't really give a shit about the vaccine, although that's all you fucking hear about and read about. But I will say this. If and maybe this is misinformation. I don't even know. I'm certainly no expert. But if the vaccine does not prevent you from getting the COVID and giving it to other people, and all it does is what I've heard and read is that it minimizes your chance for serious side effects. So it is solely to help you, not to help others. You can still get it and pass it. Why the fuck are we firing a guy? Never mind the fact that I thought there was all these medical rights, like you know, you had to have all these documents. You can't ask people about their vaccine history or their medical records. It's just wild to me. This guy got fired because he didn't get a vaccine. And maybe he's fucked up. I mean, maybe it's selfish of him. I mean, I don't know. But the fact that this is going on right now and possible in this country is fucking terrifying. And, I mean, it's going to be a major lawsuit, I'm telling you right now. And he might lose. It might not be winnable. I don't know the legal side of it. I'm going to probably reach out to Daniel Lust, our affiliate from Conduct Detrimental, who's one of the best sports attorneys in, I guess, sports media, really, and in law, to tell us what the fuck is going on and what are the ramifications of this. But the fact a guy got fired for not getting a shot. I mean, a big time millionaire head coach got fired for not getting a shot. It is wild. Wild that that's even possible. And another guy that got fired for not getting a shot or not taking a shot is Eddie O. Eddie O is out. Louisiana. He's out. Eddie O is out. And he is not mad about it. And the wildest thing about it was he's fired, but he's going to finish the year. And I can't remember that happening since my grandfather was fired the week, you know, the Monday of Michigan week, and they allowed him to coach that game. It's bizarre, right? I don't know the benefit of doing that, right? You have a lame duck head coach who is going to be on the sidelines for the rest of the year. What if he wins out? Like, then what? Can you unfire him if you change your mind? But it's the second coach in, you know, recent SEC history that is fired under 2 years after they win a national championship. Wild. From Gene Chizik to now, Eddie Orgeron. And the reality was neither was really a good head coach. Eddie O's been head coaches at Ole Miss and other places. I mean, he's never really been a good head coach. You thought maybe being back home where he loves in his Creole country in Louisiana, he could get it done. But both him and Gene Chizik rode the coattails of a generational college quarterback, right? Cam Newton at Auburn, Joe Burrow at LSU, won a title. And then when they left, reality set. Reality came back to him. They weren't that. Their program wasn't great. Their offense wasn't great. Their defense wasn't great. They just had a generational player taking the snap. And I mean, LSU's defense was really good in 2019. I don't want to say that, but it just came back to reality. They didn't have one of the best quarterbacks to play the last 20 years, and all of a sudden they can't win games. It's amazing, isn't it? So Eddie O is out, and it made me think, all right, who's getting it? We're about there. We are about there. What other chips will fall as we get down the chopping block stretch where heads get severed in college football? We're there. It's a little early right now. Usually it's November. They start chopping heads off all over the country. And I think the two that are happening, I mean, you can book it, is Manny Diaz at Miami. He's got to go. Got to go. 2-4. He had De'Aaron King the last 2 years. Didn't really do shit. The putrid performance against Alabama. Not that you expect them to win, but to get lose. I mean, just awful. It's a complete turmoil in Miami. And at some point, God, if they could just convince, someone has to come back and bring Miami back to at least, you know, decency, right? I mean, is it going to be Mario Cristobal? I mean, can we go get Mario Cristobal, get him in Miami, let him go back to South Beach where he fucking ruled the roost at FIU? It's a job that's built for him. He's out in Oregon making waves right now when he should be in South Florida trying to build a monster in Miami. That's just the reality. So Manny Diaz got to go. Dino Babers probably got to go too. Syracuse, not a good football coach, never has been. Had decent assistants and had that Art Briles system cooking for him at Bowling Green and Syracuse early, but just not a good football coach. And I don't know who you're going to get at Syracuse. Maybe 3-4 is the ceiling. So maybe he doesn't get fired. But my question is this. So I think Manny Diaz is gone. Eddie O's out. The guy at Washington State who didn't get a shot is out. The next chip to fall, and it's a question I have for you, is it time for Dan Mullen to go? It's year 4, right? He is 33-12 at Florida right now, 73%. I mean, it's respectable, but it's certainly fireable at a place like Florida. And if you look at it, Jim McElwain was 19-8 after 2 years, 70%. And then he got the axe after starting that next year 3-4. So relatively similar winning percentages, obviously started in a train wreck 3-4 year, and they axed him. Well, this Mullen train wreck Gators are 4-3 right now with a likely loss to Georgia after the bye week. They're going to be staring at 4-4 in year 4. You got to fire him, right? 4-4 in year 4. If they are going to fire him, I'll tell you this. They have to do it after that loss to Georgia. If assuming they lose, they have to fire him that weekend. They cannot let him ride the 4-game stretch after that. South Carolina, Samford with an M, not Stanford, but Samford. The house that Bobby Bowden built before he built Florida State. Missouri and Florida State. That's a 4-game stretch where they should go 4-0. They can't let him ride that 4-0 stretch and then make a change later in the season. They have to do it after he loses to Georgia. I mean, this Todd Grantham defense the past 2 years has been average, and that is being kind. They had some major blunders in the last 2 years. I mean, just look at this past weekend. 49-point embarrassment this past Saturday to an LSU team that's awful. I mean, they gave up 49 fucking points to a team that just fired their head coach. Think about that. The offense is why I think it's time they move on from Dan Mullins, though. Move on from the players kissing the coach's wife in the mouth era. They have to. The 2019 defense that they had was legit. Outside of that year, that side of the ball has always been a weakness for Mullen, the defense. Then he's always rode his offensive system to above average success. That's what he's done. Mississippi State, everywhere. He's a really brilliant football mind on offense. He is. So they've always been average on defense outside of 1 year. And this year just ain't it. Because why was Emory Jones the starting quarterback? We were watching this kid, AR-15, light it up. I mean, they put up points against LSU. This kid is dynamic, running the ball, throwing the ball. And we talked about it after week one, right? Week one, we talked about on this show, I talked about how Emory Jones should not be the quarterback. Dan Mullen is a quarterback whisperer, guru, whatever. He coached Dak Prescott and Tim Tebow and Alex Smith. He's got the resume. Why are they riding Emory Jones? He's not a great player. Maybe he will be, but he's not right now. I don't know what it is, but this is the same guy that thought Cam Newton could be a serviceable tight end, and that's it. So let's just remember that. But until this year, he's had marginal success with that system, right? Average defense, but he makes up for it on offense. Now they both are broken. Not to mention recruiting is a mess. I mean, you look at the last 4 years, four classes. 2019, finished 9th in the country. 2020, 9th in the country. Okay, that's respectable. 2021, 12th. 2022 class, they're 14th right now. I know it's early. But what's even scarier is the teams, they have to beat Georgia, right? They're not going to let you finish 2nd in the East every fucking year. I know he finished 1st in the East during COVID or something. He's recruited 1 5-star in the last 5 classes. The team you're watching has 1 5-star. One, and they have to go beat Georgia, who in that same period has 20 5-stars. 20. Five stars are how you. I mean, I'm not everything is about recruiting rankings, but they're pretty accurate, right? Not always. You can find a diamond in the rough, a 3-star, 4-star that is a 5-star, or vice versa. 5 stars can be bust, but on average, 5 stars are first round draft picks. That's what they are going to be if they're developed, coached, and featured, right? Georgia has 20. Florida has 1. This Dan Mullen is a lame fucking dude. He's a square. He's a douchebag. Recruits don't like him. They don't like his vibe. It's not something they want to play for. Christ, Tim Tebow went to Florida because he felt like God was telling him that he should go to Florida to help change Dan Mullen to not be an asshole. Think about that in recruiting. So that's Tim Tebow. He's built different. What are these other kids saying? They're saying, fuck no. I'm a 5-star. I'm still going to go to Florida State, even though it's an absolute train wreck. I'm not playing for Dan Mullen. But in my opinion, this game Saturday is win or get fired for Dan Mullen. And Georgia is fucking loaded. And I want to talk about Georgia for a minute. Talk about setting the pace in college football. I told you after week one, when I watched them play Clemson, I didn't give a shit if Clemson was good or not. We found out Clemson's not very good, but it didn't matter because I'm watching that defense run around and just how they closed gaps, how they tackled, how explosive they looked, how they got after the quarterback, how their secondary's loaded. I'm watching how they play, right? Their physical abilities and how they execute. And I was blown away and have been ever since. Never saw a game where I didn't say that defense is elite. And they are. Here's a stat for you. You know how I feel about missed tackles. 7 games played, 28 total missed tackles. That's on average 4 per game. You are not supposed to trigger as hard and as explosive and as fast as they are and be so fundamentally well-coached that you don't miss some tackles. You aren't. They are so aggressive. A lot of times that over-aggression leads to missed tackles. They don't miss them. They don't. 123 quarterback pressures this year already. They have 6 different defensive linemen in double digits. Top 5 in the country with 25 sacks. 10th in Power 5 with 8 interceptions. The number 1 rush defense in Power 5 football. 2.2 yards per carry. That is with UAB running for 127 yards against their third string. That number would be even lower, even more ridiculous. 2.2 yards per carry. They've only allowed 1 rushing touchdown and 3 passing touchdowns in 7 games. All they do in the pass game is let you complete short bullshit passes and tackle you. I mean, the Kentucky game was outstanding. Kentucky's a good football team. And you watch Will Levis, he threw it with success on Georgia. He had almost 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, but only almost 200 yards, right? 31 completions under 200 yards. It was all behind the line of scrimmage and short game. 27 of his 31 completions were under 10 yards, and they only took a shot once down the field and missed. I'll tell you what, the corner duo, Keely Ringo and Darion Kendrick, are unbelievable. Keely Ringo is a stud young player. I mean, 6'2", long, can run, fluid, explosive, unbelievable. Darion Kendrick and him both have allowed only a 31% completion percentage when targeted, and neither has yet to give up 100 yards total through 7 games. There's some corners that you're watching right now give up 90 in a game. We're going to get to one in a minute that had to cover David Bell that gave up fucking 180 in one game, who was supposed to be a good player. These two are ridiculous. And then the Georgia offense is a model based on efficiency and security. Efficient throws, a solid run game. And I'm going to tell you what, he was not good last year, and JT Daniels has been hurt, but Stetson Bennett is quietly playing very well. I mean, very well. 67% on deep balls, 73% completion percentage over 10 yards. He's still awful under pressure. 20%, I think, is his completion percentage. But they've done a great job in pass pro to make sure he's not under pressure. Their run game with Zamir White and James Cook is very solid. Let's call it solid. It's nothing explosive. It's not Dalvin Cook. It's James Cook, right? And Zamir White still hasn't exploded into the back that people thought he was when he was getting recruited by Ohio State, for sure. They've only had 8 explosive runs between both of them all year. So that's a little over 1 on average per game. So you're going to get 1 decent run out of them. The rest are just going to be pounding the ball, moving the ball down the field. So this Georgia team is in a class of its own right now, just watching the film. And we can talk about opponents and all that nonsense. I'm of the opinion that shit is all bullshit. If you watch the film, you can see how well an offensive line pass sets, how many MAs they make, right? How many mistakes they make in pass pro. Those are things that'll bite you in the ass against a great team, right? That you might not see otherwise. I mean, for them to, you know, run power at Clemson's awful defense, if you want to call it that, you know, that doesn't impress me much. I want to see how the running back moves. I want to see how efficient the offense goes. I want to see how the defense triggers. And this team is a different mold. And we're going to go through kind of the top 25, in my opinion, later in the show. But Georgia is one, and I know now everyone thinks that, but I've thought that since week one, since I watched them week one. There's not a team that looks like them in the country. There's really not. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to put your money down at MyBookie. The Arizona Cardinals have come out to a hot start with a big win over the Browns, right? The Chiefs have as many losses as they did last year. And with all these overs hitting in the dying seconds of a game, there's never been a better time to get in on the action. If you look at the games from Sunday, every 1 o'clock game, the favorite covered. It was one of the worst days in sportsbooks history for the book, for Vegas. Get in it right now with MyBookie. Don't miss out on a winning season. Head to MyBookie and use our promo code MENACE, and you'll get double your first deposit. That's promo code MENACE, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Use our picks from Menace to Picks. Go to MyBookie and slay it. Right now, up 600 units. You'll kill it. And take a look at this weekend's NFL games. I mean, the Bengals got to go to Baltimore to take on Lamar Jackson. Do you like Joe Burrow to stay hot? Or are you going to take the Ravens -6.5? Great game to bet on. Or Monday Night Football. Will Mike Thomas return for the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football? It's great, great games this weekend to bet, especially with no ranked matchups in college football. Head over to MyBookie. Use our promo code. Get double your first deposit. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Well, there you have it. Get your bookie fix at MyBookie. But let's talk about, I didn't call the upset, mainly because I didn't know what Purdue would do. But how about Iowa is in fact a phony, like I've been saying all year. Their defense is really good. Their rush defense is really good. They play a zone coverage in when a team passes it. And these teams just kept throwing the fucking ball to them. It wasn't great coverage. It wasn't like jumping routes and picking balls off. I mean, it was like tip passes, tipped incompletions, quarterbacks threw it right to them. I mean, it just, this upset was in the making all year, right? I said after the Maryland game, when I predicted Maryland to beat them, all a team has to do is just don't throw it right to them and you'll win. This country-leading interception defense had zero versus Purdue, and what happened? Purdue won. David Bell went the fuck off, didn't he? 240 yards, just nonstop, couldn't be stopped. He dominated Matt Hankins, granted mostly in zone, but Matt Hankins is one of the two corners that everyone was talking about, him and Riley Moss. He had 8 catches for 200 yards and 1 touchdown against Matt Hankins. Put that into perspective from what I just said about Georgia's duo corners. They, in 7 games, have not given up 200 yards receiving. Those two combined. Matt Hankins gave up 200 yards in this game. Got dominated. And then the question is, would have Riley Moss playing helped? Maybe. Maybe. But David Bell was on another planet on Saturday. And I'll tell you this, Aiden O'Connell shined, the quarterback, and the real winner was Purdue's pass pro. Aiden O'Connell was only pressured 6 times. He was awful under pressure. 1 for 6. If Iowa found a way to get after him and pressure him, they would have had a much better chance of success. But 1 for 6 passing, but he was only pressured 6 times. He completed 83% of his balls when kept clean. He was carving their asses up. Both teams had 6 missed tackles, so solid defensive performance. But what really happened was Spencer Petras was exposed. He attempted 4 passes to his left or deep, right? That means he can't get his... We talked about it before the Maryland game. He doesn't throw the ball to the left because he doesn't have great footwork and fundamentals to throw to his left. And then he's 0 for 4 on deep balls. He was 7 for 16 with 4 interceptions on throws over 10 yards. 25% of his throws over 10 yards were picked off. Spencer Petras obviously didn't pay attention to what the fuck went on with their defense when other teams threw the ball to them. Because this, I mean, you can't do that. You throw 4 picks, you're fucking dead. Purdue only blitzed him 3 times. 3 times. All of his struggles were against base defense. Think about that. Base defense with decent pass protection all day long, and he goes 7 for 16 over 10 yards with 4 interceptions and 0 for 4 on deep balls. I mean, just awful day. And then Iowa has never really been able to, but on Saturday was not able to run the ball. 2.5 yards per carry. That was a pretender. And I'm going to be honest, people were all pissed off. Like, how Bama only fell to six or whatever after they lost to an unranked two-loss team, and Iowa drops to 11. Yeah, because Iowa is not any good. I mean, if they can create turnovers, if you give them the ball, they can. I mean, what are you talking about? Maryland gave it to them five times. What, you're not going to win a game pretty convincingly? You get the ball five times from another team? This defense has a solid run defense. That's what it is. Iowa has a solid front seven, solid run defense. Secondary is good at what they do, but they're not overly talented. I like Riley Moss a lot. Matt Hankins is just a guy, a jag, as I call him. And it got exposed because they didn't get the turnovers that kept them at undefeated, right? Put them at number two in the country. That's just what happened. And so I look for Iowa State to lose another game. I mean, certainly the Big Ten championship game, if they make it there, which they will, I think. But if the other team can just not throw them the ball, then you'll beat them. So Iowa, I think, is right where they should be. I think at 11, and we're going to go through the top 25 in a minute. The other team that I have a question for you, and I'm going to answer it for you, but I want you to think about it right now as you sit there. Is Oklahoma State a serious contender? After beating Texas, they're undefeated, right? The media is going to make this huge matchup out of them in Oklahoma if they get there unscathed. So I had to dive into them, right? Haven't studied Oklahoma State a lot this year. Not a lot. The only game I watched was the Texas game. And now, so I had to go back and study some film on them. And here's what they are. Typical Big 12 defense. I mean, they are what you think of when you think about Big 12 defense. Can't fucking tackle. I mean, it's like basketball on grass. They average 12 missed tackles per game. So can't tackle. Typical Big 12 defense. Don't think that it's a strength of theirs at all. I obviously think it's a weakness. And Spencer Sanders is a guy that I thought had a decent shot to have a good year this year, and he's having a solid year. But when you watch the film, in my opinion, he is very, very, very average. That's what he is. His stats are average. His film is average. 45% on deep balls isn't terrible, not dynamic. 57% over 10 yards, 31% under pressure. He has the markings of a front runner quarterback, right? When things are going well, when everything's perfect, when they're playing maybe when they have better players than the opponent's defense, he can get some things done, right? But when they don't, when he's under duress, under pressure, he has to extend a play. He has to make an NFL throw. He's just a guy. This team is a team of jags. So in conclusion, after watching the film, they are 100% a pretender. And I'm calling my shot right now. Upset alert this weekend at Iowa State. I'm calling that shit. Down go the Cowboys. One less undefeated team in the country. And if that doesn't happen, which I think it will happen, they still have to beat Iowa State, go on the road at West Virginia, TCU at home, at Texas Tech, and then take on Oklahoma after Thanksgiving in the Red River Shootout, or not the Red River Shootout, that's Texas, but in that rival game, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, whatever the fuck they play for, some little big horn jug or something. They're not going to come out of that gauntlet unscathed. They're not going to be undefeated for Oklahoma. So I think that they lose this weekend to Iowa State. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but this ain't it. Not this year. You have a typical Big 12 defense, and your quarterback is playing average. You can't win. That's the formula, right? You have elite quarterback play with an elite defense in this 2021 year. You're going to win. You're going to win big. That's what George is doing right now. And somehow, some way, Stetson Bennett is playing out of his fucking mind. Looking forward to the weekend, man. What an awful weekend. Week 8, there is zero ranked matchups. Zero. I mean, let's just go through the slate here. First, you got on Wednesday, so tomorrow, big matchup. It's going to be a great game, and I wish I should have broken this game down because Coastal Carolina is sitting at 14, 6-0. I mean, back-to-back great years, and they play at App State on Wednesday night, which that's going to be an awesome game to watch. If you love college football, that will be, I mean, a big-time game. Just you know, for a Sun Belt matchup. So SMU, who's quietly sneaking up on that upset over Cincinnati. They play late in November. They're at 6-0. They play Tulane. They should absolutely mop the floor with them. Obviously, Ohio State travels to Indiana for a night game. Indiana's 0-3 in the Big Ten. Shouldn't be a test for Ohio State. Cincinnati's playing Navy. Navy's 1-5. They're terrible. Oklahoma and Kansas. Kansas is 1-5. Michigan is playing Northwestern. Northwestern stinks. Penn State plays Illinois. Illinois stinks. Wake Forest, who's quietly also 6-0. And are they the team to beat in ACC this year? playing Army. Purdue, who's now ranked because of their big win over Iowa, is playing Wisconsin. So that's a good test for Purdue. Find out if they can stay in the mix in the Big Ten West. Oklahoma State on upset alert at Iowa State. That's the only matchup that I'm calling a great game. We're going to break it down for you. 6-0 Oklahoma State has to go to Ames, Iowa. Oregon UCLA will be a good game at 3:30 on Saturday. Number 10 Oregon playing UCLA and Chip Kelly. Ole Miss taking on the newly fired Ed Orgeron LSU. That should, I mean, that was going to be an interesting game. 5-1 Ole Miss. I mean, obviously, I think Ole Miss will win. And then Pittsburgh is favored by 3 points. 5-1 Pitt over Clemson. Unranked Clemson. How about that? Alabama has Tennessee coming to town. I mean, this is just Notre Dame USC, I guess for history's sake, is a decent game. Notre Dame's quietly sitting at 5-1 at number 13. And just kind of sitting there and just see what happens this year. Let some turmoil happen. Notre Dame will sneak back in the mix. And then A&M, South Carolina, Miami playing NC State. Just not a good weekend of college football. But I do want to talk about the rankings for a minute. I want to go through them, and I think just kind of give you my opinion. I'm going to run down the teams that I think are still in contention, right? Georgia, you already know what I think. Cincinnati, I think if they beat SMU, they're in. I really do. With the way this all is going to shake out, barring, you know, four undefeated teams at the end of the year, I think, or five, I think they get in. I do. The AP has them at second in the country, which is just insane. I don't know what we're rating stuff on. Oklahoma at 7-0. I don't know, man, with Caleb Williams and the stuff going on with Spencer Rattler. I like Oklahoma with Caleb Williams. I do. I think they're a contender now. Spencer Rattler was awful. But with Spencer Rattler hanging around, what is that doing to the chemistry of the team? I mean, he's got a baseball cap on and a clipboard. Like, is he going to be Jalen Hurts when Tua took over? Or is he going to be the guy that walked off the field after he got benched while everyone was celebrating a huge win? Which Spencer Rattler are we getting? The front-running bitch or the team player who knows that things will work out if he works hard? That's the question I have for Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma State can beat them. I just gave you my thoughts on Oklahoma State. So I think Oklahoma's they're obviously in the driver's seat. But now that Lincoln Riley made the switch, I think Oklahoma's a legit contender to make it. Alabama at 6-1 is ahead of Ohio State. I don't know why. Doesn't sound right to me. Ohio State lost to a top 10 team. Alabama did not. And Alabama, who have they beaten now? Who have they beaten? That Florida win doesn't look so good, does it? And like I said, I don't like to go down that path. But when I watch both teams on film, they're very similar. I give the edge to Ohio State because of their offense. They're loaded. Fucking loaded. C.J. Stroud is playing better than Bryce Young, by the way. Alabama's defense is a little better than Ohio State. So it's up for conversation. And then the team that is quietly sitting in the wings, the Michigan Wolverines at 6-0, huge matchup in 2 weeks against Michigan State, and that'll tell you everything you want to know because one of those two teams is going to be a real threat to Ohio State and a real threat to the national landscape. Whoever comes out of that October 30th game, watch out. Watch out. The momentum they'll gain from it, they can't fuck it up. Then they got to go in and beat Ohio State, right? Michigan State has to go to Ohio State and win. Michigan obviously gets Ohio State in the big house. And then I think you're pretty much out. No one else is a real contender. Penn State, absolutely not. Offense is fucking horrible. Sean Clifford is average as the day is long. They can't run the ball. I like Jahan Dotson, but they ain't it. Penn State is not a contender. Oklahoma State, I already told you, pretender. Oregon, they're decent. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau, if you watch that game this weekend, holy shit. I mean, he took over the entire second half. Every play, he either got a penalty or made the play. Every fucking play. He's dominant, but I don't think Oregon finds their way back in the mix. Iowa's a pretender, I told you. Ole Miss, no. Notre Dame, no. And then you get down to Coastal Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, then you're out of it. So how many was that right there? Seven teams. Seven teams that have the potential to be in this mix at the end of the year. Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. Really, really crazy, though. All this shit talking about the Big Ten and the Midwest. Right now, the Midwest has Cincinnati 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, Penn State 4, Michigan State 5. Five teams in the top 9 are Midwest football teams. Big Ten footprint, if you're adding Cincinnati in. 5 out of 9. The best conference in college football, ladies and gentlemen, the Big Ten. Hey. I do want to just kind of talk one more thing. I want to talk about Ohio State coming off a bye week. really, really critical. I heard Ryan talk, and I've talked to some people in the program. They had a great week last week. Really felt like they got healthy. Kids got fresh. Kids got reinvigorated, which is going to be critical because this stretch they're coming up on is fucking epic, legendary. Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, and then probably Iowa. Those four games are going to be absolutely nuts. And so right now, what is their path to the pro to the college football playoff? That's what it is, right? Right now, in my opinion, they're the second best team in the country behind Georgia based on who played the last 2 weeks, right? We know they struggled early. Then I have five things that they need to do down the stretch and keep doing to actually go make some noise in the end of this thing, to actually be competitive with Georgia. We'll find out if they can actually beat Georgia, but I want to know if they can be competitive. If they can, obviously they got to win the stretch. They got to win down the stretch. But number one, they have to develop their linebackers. We know this, right? And they have to play the best combination. Steel Chambers has to fucking play. EA has to play. They got to play a lot. And then if you want to put in Cody Simon, Taraja Mitchell, I mean, those are supplemental guys. Disappointed in Taraja how he played the last 2 weeks. He started off so strong. EA has to play a ton. Steel Chambers has to play a ton. I'll say it one more time. Christ. That's number one. Number two, CJ Stroud's consistency. If CJ Stroud plays like he's played the last 2 weeks, the rest of the way, this team is going to make some fucking noise. They really are. He's playing consistent. He's throwing accurately. He's running the offense. Travion Henderson is exploding onto the national scene. I mean, I think I just am so excited for this offense and where their trajectory is headed. And number three, they got to get to the quarterback. You heard what I said about Georgia. That's an elite defense. Ohio State needs to try to reach that stratosphere. Get to the quarterback, both in pass rush, right, with a healthy Zach Harrison, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Tyreek Smith, right, Tylenol Williams. They need to get to the quarterback. Number four, they have to eliminate drops by offensive skill. Way too many drops. You can't do that to C.J. Stroud. You can't drop those passes. This receiving crew needs to make catches that you wouldn't think they normally could make, right? The Garrett Wilson climbs the ladder against Clemson and catches a ball 11 feet in the air type of catches. That's what he needs them to do. They need to eliminate all the drops. Enough with the bullshit. Over the bye week, I hope they focused on the jugs machine, eye control, hand placement. Really focus on, you know, cleaning that shit up. And then number five, the biggest thing that we've seen the last 2 weeks, and with a bye week, we're talking full transformation now. Matt Barnes is running the show. He's slowly transitioned this defense to multiplicity, right? A more multiple look, some cover two, some two high zones, some rotations, some blitzes, some sub packages. Now he had a bye week and a down Indiana team. So they should be locked and loaded by Penn State. They need to keep developing their defensive identity, the multiplicity, and the arsenal to attack offenses. Enough of the dormant bullshit, man free or one high zone. Let's go after some fucking quarterbacks. Let's create confusion for quarterbacks. Let's move guys on the defensive line and make it hard for the offensive line to ID the run game. That's what we need to see. So I think Ohio State is, I mean, clearly on the right path the last 2 weeks. Now with the bye week, we're going to see a lot in Indiana. You're not going to see everything unless they need it for the game. But we're going to see what this bye week afforded the defensive staff to transition to this new system that Matt Barnes wants to run, right? That's what we're going to see. That's what they had the opportunity to do. And this bye week came at the perfect time because they got to implement all that stuff. And here's the hard thing. If they played Penn State after the bye, you would love spending that extra time on Penn State. But you wouldn't have a game in between to kind of get comfortable with any wrinkles you added. I think this is perfect. You talk about a Cinderella story right now. Not Cinderella, but a fairy tale story, right? They get this bye week, can put in the wrinkles they need to put in, test it all out, get some experience against Indiana, and then roll out the fucking dogs in the horseshoe when James Franklin and Penn State come to town. I don't think you could ask for more as a Buckeye fan. There was going to be struggles early. You knew that with the youth on defense. You knew that after the Alabama game last year, there probably needed to be a change made at coordinator. They made the change. They're improving. This team's getting better. CJ Stroud's got healthy and comfortable. This is what you want for Buckeye fans. If you're a Buckeye fan, you have everything right where you want it. You do. Fuck the loss. You learn from it. You kept the kids humble, right? Now they jump up to number five in the country. Those kids don't care. They've already gone through adversity and already said when they were ranked 11th, those rankings are bullshit. Don't even look at them. Let's just handle our business and get where we need to get. So got me on a little rant there, but I'm really fired up about where this Ohio State team's headed. Let's see how they come out of the bye week, see what they did new, kind of new wrinkles on offense and defense, and see what what CJ Stroud's going to do. I mean, does he want to be in the Heisman conversation? I think he has the third best odds to win it right now. If he plays like he did the last 2 weeks, a some bitch will win the award as a freshman, redshirt freshman, whatever he is. So really excited about the landscape, man. It's cleaning up and clearing up right in front of our eyes. Seven teams in play. If the four playoff teams are not in those seven, I'll pay someone $500. How about that? There's my promise to you. So anyways, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the weekend's games. And I might have to bring Daniel Lust on to talk about the legal ramifications of some of the stuff going on in sports law. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State.
Why am I talking to you? You're not even in football.
Yeah.
Did you even play to the high school level? You took journalism. It's a bunch of nerds interrupting people who know what they're doing.
It goes to the corner, dives to the corner. He didn't get there. No, they say he did. And Indiana wins.
The commissioner could literally punt a baby with his wingtips on. I'm still going to watch on Sunday.
Looking for the deep ball.
I don't condone the man's actions, but it's football. I have to watch it. This is all I have.
On first down, it's Breece Hall. He doesn't go down. He might go all the way. He stays on his feet again and scores.
I wasn't going to hit a woman, but then that guy in the Ravens did it, so I guess it's okay.